Hey, all you nostalgic baby mamas.
Welcome to 90210 Here We Go, the podcast that takes a look at each episode of the Beverly Hills 90210 franchise from Fox to the CW.
One of us is a 90210 expert and the other is a 90210 novice.
I'm Kendra Mickles and I'm seeing these episodes for the first time.
I'm Nick Gunning and I've seen them all.
Our show is brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Other shows on the network include 90s Music Got Me Like, This and Dorian Life, and Previously on X-Men. You can follow all the shows at Radio Meanwhile on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Please rate, subscribe, and share the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Today we're discussing Beverly Hills 90210 Season 8, Episode 10, Child of the Night.
I wish it was vampire related, yeah. but it's not.
No, it's teen prostitute related, so it's less fun.
Yeah. All right, let's check out the Beverly Beat.
We guarantee the Beverly Beat is the best advertising you'll ever get.
This episode originally aired on November 12th, 1997. Birthdays, November 11th, John Reilly, who plays Bill Taylor, turned 63.
You love him or hate him, Bill Taylor. Hate him probably is the better
option. Yeah, I mean, does anyone like him? November 13th, Brent and Shane Kinsman, best known for playing the Scavo twins on Desperate Housewives and the Baker twins in the Cheaper by the Dozen movie, are born.
Now they're old men.
Is this the same? Because are there multiple twins who play the Scavo twins or is it the same
there's
kids?
There's the original baby size ones. And then when they do that 5-year time jump, it's a different set. And I think this is the originals. But you saw Cheaper by the Dozen, right? So whichever.
I did, yes. Okay. I guess it would have been the younger ones.
Tom Welling playing 14 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Doesn't look a day over 35. He makes Dylan look young.
Movies, November 14th, The Man Who Knew Too Little, starring Bill Murray and Geraldine James.
Speaking of Bill Murray, I saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I had a good time.
Oh, nice. I haven't seen any of the new Ghostbusters movies. Mm.
I think I like Afterlife a little better, but this was a good... there's a lot of characters in it, but Kumail Nanjiani showed up and just, like, killed it. And I thought it was a good blend of, like, the old and the new. So, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Nice. Also on November 14th, One Night Stand, starring Wesley Snipes, Ming-Na Wen, and Robert Downey Jr. That's an interesting cast there.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes and Robert Downey Jr. were in the U.S. Marshals movie that was like a sequel to The Fugitive.
Okay,
it was not a good movie. Not a good movie. Huh. So I guess they're just hanging out in the 90s.
TV, November 16th, Ah, Real Monsters, aired the final of 52 episodes on Nickelodeon.
This was never one that I went deep into, but my wife was like a huge fan of the show.
I am not a fan. I don't like
it. Yeah. Doug was my Nicktoon of choice.
Oh, yes. Love Doug. Music, November 14th, Celine Dion released the album Let's Talk About Love. It topped the chart in many countries around the globe and was certified 11 times platinum in the U.S.
Wow. Good year for Celine.
Yeah. November 18th, Hanson released their Christmas album, Snowed In. It hit number 7 on the Billboard Top 200 and number 1 on the holiday charts.
Okay.
The Titanic soundtrack was released with music by James Horner and the Celine Dion track, By Heart Will Go On.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. Also, in many countries, number 1 in many countries and 11 times platinum.
Wow.
We did an episode about My Heart Will Go On.
I thought so.
90s Music Got Me Like, so you can check that out.
Yeah.
Paul Simon released the album Songs from the Cape Men?
Your guess is as good as mine. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Which consisted of his versions of songs from his Cape Man Broadway musical.
Oh, yeah. You're looking for a show to direct. Why don't you do Cape Man
by Paul Simon? Yeah, I'll add that to my potential.
Yeah, just put it in the mix. Put it in the mix.
Despite being his first album in nearly a decade, it did not sell well and topped out at number 42 on the Billboard charts. And video games, November 18th, the racing game Sonic R is released on the Sega Saturn and later the GameCube.
Loved Sonic. I loved Sonic Spinball, but I never really did a Sonic racing game until that more recent one, the one that came out in the last 5 years or so. So I didn't play this. I never had a Sega Saturn. That was like, I didn't make that jump.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have been one of the 10 people who had a Sega Saturn.
All right, Nick, take us beyond the zip code.
Yes. In 2018, Sinead Grimes Beach, who plays Annie in the CW years, and of course, the lead in Time for Her to Come Home for Christmas this year.
Of course, yes.
Whatever that was called. She starred as Detective Jack Cooper in the series The Detail. The show followed a trio of detectives going for a work-life balance.
Life.
The Detail. The Detail.
Yeah.
Sinead Grimes Beach.
All right, let's look at our synopsis for Child of the Night.
All right.
With Erica back safely at the Walsh house, Brandon writes an expose for the Beverly Beat with Erica as an unnamed source. Brandon has a tough decision to make when the DA comes knocking, demanding the name of the source. Meanwhile, Noah is tangled up in every story. He tells Val it's a definitive no, saves David from a loan shark, and kisses Donna. Finally, Steve and Carly discuss what to do if Steve really ends up being the father of Jody's baby.
Such a weird move to have Carly talk to Jody.
I know.
I thought that was like, I don't know, it's like they're not really even in a relationship, but it's like, hey, can you convince this girl that I hooked up with to get an abortion? That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. Oof. All right. Who's living in Beverly Hills?
Well, today's episode was directed by Les Sheldon. This is his second and final episode directing for us, written by John Eisendrath. Lots of recurring players this time around. Miles Jeffrey as Zach Reynolds, Fatima Lowe as Terry Spar, Jonna Stewart Bowden as Erica, Matthew Lawrence as Mel Silver, and it's been a minute. I feel like we haven't seen Mel in a while.
Like, he showed up and I was like, finally.
Mel, I know. We've seen Jackie, but I think not so much Mel. So anyway, good to see him. Cammie Green was the Peach Pit waitress that we see in the background. Jessica Collins back as Jody. Robert Torti as Everett Sands. Vincent Irizarry as Riggs. So a lot of, it's a big cast for this one. A couple of new recurring players. We have Kimberly Bailey as DA Deborah Mills. She appeared on shows like The Gilmore Girls, Martin, and Quantum Leap. We have Daniel Zacapa as Detective Pate. So he also played a cop on The Following, The Odd Couple 2, which you might have heard us talk about if you listened to But Have You Tried, Quantum Leap, The Sandlot, Sisters, Seven, After the Game, Judging Amy, Dragnet, Alias, and True Memoirs of an International Assassin. So he's just got resting cop face. And he's
he was
just
a cop in all of those?
He played a cop in all those shows and movies. Yeah.
I mean, I guess when you find your...
Yeah, you go for it. Yeah. Finally, we have Nisha Trout as Julie. She was in the show Clubland and the movie Never Been Kissed. And we have Troy Harris, who's the bartender here. So not Dirk Blocker, who we had last time, not Hitchcock, but we have Troy Harris as the bartender. And he also did a bit part on Melrose Place.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Child of the Night. We start at the Peach Pit. Steve comes to see Carly, and she's been giving him some room. She hasn't been close to him since this, you know, baby bombshell landed in their laps at the end of last episode.
Yeah, it took me a minute to figure out why they were being so weird with each other, because there was a thing with Steve going to Zach's, like, father-son game, and then Jody showing up. It's like two things that are like, this is complicated, but I was like, why are we having beef? But I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. And they kind of talk about, you know, she's like, well, how careful could you be if you've gotten somebody pregnant?
Yeah. She's basically saying, if you're going to have like a one night stand, how, you know, are you really going to be careful?
And she wants him to take a DNA test and, you know, guilty till proven innocent.
Right.
Like, let's just, you know, step one, make sure this is actually your kid.
Yeah. He says it's $1,000 to get the test. Steep.
Does that make sense? Is that comparable to
I know,
today?
That's what I was trying to think about. I really don't know, like, what they would run that under. Who knows? I'm not sure. $1,000 is a lot.
At the Walsh house, Brandon's on the phone with a detective who said he'll be out that day looking for Erica. Kelly and Donna will also be out in the van. I guess Kelly's taken over for Pam on van duty.
She's just like
the van driver now.
Pam needed a day for herself.
Kelly, of course, blames Valerie for this happening because it was on Valerie's watch. And did I just, like, forget what happened? Brandon says that Valerie lost a $20,000 necklace.
Yeah, they didn't really come back to that again. I think Valerie had it for one of her clients, right? And Erica stole it with the other things? Or am I remembering that wrong?
Oh. Maybe. It if was, so, that was like not apparent at all. Well,
everything that was stolen was very confusing because all we saw again was Kelly's bracelet, but they're like ripping TVs off the wall and stealing stereos and stuff.
He's saying the reason she had left to go meet a client was because she lost a necklace. So it was before things were stolen.
Okay. Okay. I heard that the other way, but whatever. A necklace has been lost. It does not come into play in this episode.
Yeah, it's just I was confused.
Yeah, and as well you should be.
After the intro, Kelly and Donna are trolling the streets in their van.
Like Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah. And they watch a young prostitute pick up a customer and they're, you know, Donna is just aghast. She can't believe that she just witnessed that. They're like, yeah, this is Erica's world. It's crazy out here on the streets.
Crazy times. Mm-hmm.
At the Peach Pit After Dark, David finally meets up with his father, Mel, and tells him everything. Well, he tells him almost everything.
Yeah.
Almost that's what I was everything.
Like, in for a penny, or I guess in for like a couple of grand, in for a pound. I feel like just tell him about the loan shark, you know?
Yeah. So he does. He tells him everything. He says, you know, he owes his creditors. He owes all his vendors. He stole money from Donna. But he does. Mel's like, is that it? And he's like, yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else. I don't owe a loan shark who will come and beat me into a bloody pulp.
Yeah.
So Mel says that he needs to declare bankruptcy so that he can stay in business and keep the creditors off his back. I don't know how bankruptcy works. It seems like you wouldn't be able to stay in business, but I don't know. I've never run a business.
No, I think that that is a thing. It's like you keep the things to like so you can continue to pay on stuff and you have that baseline. My understanding from The Office is that you just stand up and say, I declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, you just yell it.
While we're on a sidetrack, I have been watching The Hindi Office on Hulu, and it's a lot of fun.
Fun! So, I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, I think it's only two seasons, but it's very close to The American.
At the Beverly Beat, Jody comes to meet with Steve, and they talk a little bit about, you know, they both remember that they use protection, but obviously...
What you gonna do?
It didn't work.
99%, you know?
And Jody says that she's sure that the kid is Steve's because after she broke up with her boyfriend, Steve was the only other person that she was with.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve is, I don't know if we're supposed to feel bad for Steve in this episode, but I don't at all.
I didn't feel bad for him either.
Because he's like, are you sure you want to do this? Like being a single mom is the hardest thing you can do.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm not getting an abortion. And he's like, then put the kid up for adoption.
Yeah. He does acknowledge that he was adopted and he appreciates his birth mother, like giving him a better chance. But like, we've all watched the show and that was not Steve's response to his adoption. You know, it was like this real emotional, like visceral thing. So for him to just be like,
this whole like crusade across the states to find his birth mother and
met his biological grandfather that he never spoke to again. It was a lot. A lot of
stuff.
So
Jody says that she is going to be keeping the baby no matter what.
Yep.
On the boat, which I forgot until this episode that this is Donna's parents' boat.
Yes, I agree. I forgot about that too.
I thought it was just a boat he was working on.
I think we've been saying that for the entire season. So, it's
Donna's parents' boat that he's living on.
Right.
So when Noah gets back to the boat, Valerie has gotten in and she has set up a romantic candlelit dinner for the two of them. She is just in full grovel mode.
Yeah.
And he is not going for it at all.
No.
She's like, we belong together. And he's like, oh, yeah, for richer or for poorer, huh?
Yep.
And he kicks her out.
Yeah, he means it.
Yeah. At the police station, they have found Erica. She was arrested for prostitution.
Sure.
And they come to get her. And apparently, since Kelly works for the foundation, they can release her to Kelly because she represents the foundation. No paperwork needed.
I know that, like, you know, they're probably not going to get Luke Perry or whatever. But, like, I don't understand at all why they didn't. Maybe they did. But, like, I don't really buy no Iris, no Dylan in this storyline. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The lengths that Dylan went to get Erica back.
I know.
But he won't fly over from Paris. Right. When she's literally a prostitute.
In like, jail.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, it's wild. It's wild. And like, I have to believe Stephanie Beecham would have done it if they would have called her and just said, you know, we need an Iris tag. I just think it's wild. Even a voice on the phone, something weird.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess they're saying because she asked them not to tell Dylan. So I guess we're supposed to believe that Dylan doesn't know, but still it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I just didn't like it. I just think it really undercuts that whole storyline, which was a huge part of that era, you know? Yeah.
So Erica is in the holding cell with her friend Julie, is that her friend's name?
Yep.
And they, you know, give her back her things, and she has a bracelet on her that the cop is like, does this belong to Erica or does this belong to one of you? And Kelly says that it's her bracelet, but that she had given it to Erica.
Yeah, which she doesn't have to say because she doesn't want to press charges.
But I don't want to press charges.
Yeah, exactly. She made up a whole backstory.
So the cop does let Erica go with Kelly and Brandon.
Yes.
At Donna David's, David comes over to apologize to Donna. He gives her the check. Mel got him a check. What did he owe her? Like $2,500?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. And she says, you know, I'll take the money, but I will not take your apology.
Yeah.
And she says that maybe she can't give him another chance now. Like maybe someday.
Yeah.
But she wants him out of the apartment by the end of the next day. She's kicking him out.
Yeah, she had a line in there. I wish I would have written it down, but she said something along the lines of like, you obviously don't understand what the problem is if you think you can come in here and fix it with a check. Like, that's not, it's not the money, you know? And I thought that I like seeing some strong Donna here, so we'll see how long that lasts.
We'll take any strong Donna.
I know. Yeah.
At the Walsh house, Kelly and Brandon wake up Erica bright and early the next morning.
Well, it's 9:30, but...
Yeah, well, it's bright and early for her, I guess.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And
she's a child of the night, you know?
Yeah. She has a gynecologist appointment that day. She has a therapist appointment that day. So they're like, you know, you're with us 24/7, kid. Like, we're not letting you out of our sight.
It's and just so funny to me that Kelly is so not into this. You know what I mean? Like,
I do not understand Kelly's. She's so cold.
She
this
is.
Entire episode. But these she two is. Episodes. And I mean, she's out there weird. Looking. She's out yeah. there looking for her. So she wants to find her. But then she like pushes her away immediately.
Yeah. It's just extra strange to me because this is like her profession right now. She's like working at a foundation that's goal is to like help like kids in trouble. And she's just kind of like, stick her in juvie. We don't have time.
So they ask her where the rest of the stuff is that she stole. She takes them back to that hotel where they found her in the previous episode. And Julie is there. I guess she and Julie both live there with Riggs, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's unclear.
The big items have already been pawned, like the TV and the stereo, but she's able to find a bunch of, you know, like a box with bracelets and other trinkets in it.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon notices that the pocket watch that Dylan gave him is missing, and he asks about it, and Erica says that she has no idea where it is. Can you remind me what happened with this pocket watch?
I cannot.
You can't. You don't remember Dylan gave that to Brandon? I don't either. Julie is stoned out of her mind, but it's her 18th birthday the next day, so she's gonna be legal.
Great adults, great. The night.
Yeah, she said Riggs gave her a present, but it went up in smoke already.
Do you think it was drugs, Kendra?
I do think it was drugs.
Okay.
And so Erica gives Julie the pocket watch, which she had all along, and says, you know, hold on to this for me. It was my brother's, or my brother, you know, it was a present for my brother. And they have to leave Julie there. They're very sad to do it. And it's a very bleak scene.
It's not a good setup. Mm-mm.
At Carly's, Steve wants Carly to talk to Jody about this baby situation. And yes. I mean, just talk about, like, read the room. Yeah. You're in the home of a woman who has been making the single mom thing work and, like, loves being a mom to Zach.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so Carly's tries to be like, you know, there's different levels of responsibility. And Steve's like, well, what about Zach's dad? Like, what did he want? And Carly said, well, he didn't want the baby, but I wanted it anyway. And he's like, aha, see, where was Zach's dad's choice? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What are you saying right now?
Right.
But that gets Carly to agree. She's like, all right, give me your number. I'll talk to her.
But wait, isn't Zach's dad dead?
I don't know.
Isn't that the whole thing? That he was dead? Yes. Okay. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe? Season 8, baby.
I don't know. But he apparently did not want to have a kid. And she was the one who wanted to go through with it.
Yes. Yes.
At the Beverly Beat, Brandon brings Erica to the paper. It's, you know, her second day being off the streets. And so he wants to write an expose.
Yeah.
About he wants to write her story so that maybe it will help someone. She's not really super excited about this, but he says that he won't use her name. And, you know, he thinks that her story is worth telling if it can help someone.
Yeah. It's just, a little soon.
Back on the boat, Donna comes to hang out on the boat, which makes sense now because now I know this is her parents' boat.
It's her parents'
boat. I was like, why in all of Beverly Hills is this where she's going to hang out while David moves out? But yeah, so that's what she does. And Noah's there. And she says, you know, she kind of feels bad. She feels like she's kicking him while he's down because he's having all this trouble with the Peach Pit. Noah's like, you know what? When I'm not sure what to do, I go sailing. Let's sail the boat.
Yeah.
And so they decide to go for a sail.
Romantic.
A little. At Donna David's, Steve is there helping David pack. He agrees with Mel that David should declare bankruptcy. David thinks that he agrees with Carly and that he, you know, that Steve should get this DNA test.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why Steve is being so, like, he doesn't want to have a kid. I guess he doesn't want it to be proven that it's his kid. Yeah, that's why he doesn't want to take the test.
As soon as they do the test, it's, like, real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I did like that David actually told him about the loan shark. It was nice to just widen in the circle a little bit was helpful.
Yeah, and Steve said, this isn't a loan shark that'll break your legs, right? And he says, no, he knows I'm a musician. He'll break my fingers. At Carly's, Jody comes over to meet with Carly, and they talk about the joys of pregnancy and being a mom. The baby's kicking, which Carly, you know, she missed that feeling.
Carly kind of starts like, hey, you should probably get rid of that baby. And Jody's like, is that what you really think? And she's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just a weird.
Yeah, she backs down really quick.
Instantly. Yeah.
Yeah. And she says, you know, it's the hardest thing ever, but it's worth it because you have, you know, your kid. And Carly tells Jody that she thinks Steve will come around.
I like to believe that. Yes. I think he's acting out of character.
Yeah. Back on the boat, Donna and Noah are back from their sail, and they are saying goodbye to each other. And I don't know why Valerie keeps just, like, coming around. Like,
yeah,
it's a little pathetic.
Valerie's a little creeper in this one. Yeah,
she like comes down the stairs of the boat and sees Noah and Donna together, and then they kiss.
Yeah.
As they're saying it, they like hug goodbye and then it turns into a kiss.
It's kind of already out of nowhere. It's a little abrupt.
It is. But I'm going to say already I like Noah and Donna better than I like Noah and Valerie.
I didn't hate it too. I felt the same way. I was kind of like, all right, let's get it going.
So, yeah, the last person you want to have this information is Valerie.
Yes.
as we will see. At the Beverly Beat, Brandon did write his expose, and he didn't use Erica's name, but he used Riggs's name.
Like everyone else's names.
Yeah. And Erica is, you know, worried about this because obviously Riggs is not going to like it. And, you know, as if hearing this conversation, someone comes to see Brandon. I guess she's the assistant DA.
That's right. Deborah Mills.
Deborah Mills. That's like the most assistant DA name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And she is putting, she read the article. So I guess their paper is getting around if the assistant DA is reading his articles. And she wants to put a case together against Riggs. And she wants Brandon to give up his source so that she can testify against Riggs. But Brandon says no, there's no, you know, he's protecting a child. There's no way that he is going to give up his source. And the assistant DA says, you know, I'm going to come down hard on this guy and I'm going to and on anyone who
anybody who stops stands in my way. Yeah.
Yep.
It is interesting that like never in this, I mean, Kelly tries, but they don't really have a conversation about like, maybe it's worth Erica coming forward because like, she doesn't live there. You know what I mean? Like, she's just going to go back to Hawaii or wherever the heck Dylan is, like, in a couple of days. Like, why not take this guy down? But they just don't really talk about it in that way.
At Donna David's that evening, Donna arrives home and David is still there. He's got, like, one box that he hasn't been able to mentally, like, pick up and move.
Yeah.
So he's just been hanging around. And she tells him, you know, she still has hope for the two of them, but right now she wants him
to go. It's a no for me, dog. Yep.
And she goes inside and cries. Poor Donna.
Yeah.
At the Walsh house, Kelly is going over to stay with Donna that night so she's not by herself with everything she's dealing with. So Brandon is going to be sticking around with Erica. Kelly tells Brandon that she thinks that he should give the assistant DA Erica's name.
Yeah.
And they kind of, you know, they argue about it a little bit. And Erica, of course, comes down and overhears the conversation. But this time she makes herself known. And Brandon still flat out refuses.
He's like, I'm not going to. And that's it. Final.
Back at Carly's, Carly is putting Zach to bed. And as soon as his head hits the pillow, Steve's like, okay, he's asleep. What did you say to Jody? And she says, well, I kind of told her that I think she's doing the right thing. Yeah.
Carly's working for the other team.
Yeah. And she says, you know, if you're the father, you need to be part of your child's life. Like, it's a thing. Like, you can love your adopted parents, but you're going to wonder about your birth parents.
Yeah, definitely.
Steve thinks it's going to ruin his life, but Carly's like, sorry, like
comes to the breaks.
But this is it.
Yep.
At Donna David's, Kelly arrives with ice cream and popcorn and movies, and they're just going to have a good night together. And Donna tells Kelly about spending the day with Noah and just like casually mentions the kiss.
Yeah, she's like, we both knew the kiss was a mistake. Kelly's reaction is so funny. It's so genuine. They're like, what? You know, I thought that was really funny.
And Donna says that one word to describe the kiss was wow.
I thought she was going to say hot, but she said wow. Yeah.
Wow. At the Peach Pit After Dark, Valerie comes to see David to just
rile it.
Chaos.
Rattle these cages.
Stir the pot.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, I saw Donna was over with Noah, and I wonder what they were doing together. And oh, I guess it's her parents' boat, but that doesn't explain why they were kissing.
Oh.
And then she says, and did I mention Noah is downstairs at the bar? So David goes down to confront Noah, but when he gets downstairs, the loan shark is there. What's his name? Everett?
Yeah, Everett Sands. Because he told Steve, earlier that the payment was due yesterday. So
yeah, he's overdue.
He's overdue.
Everett's there and his hired muscle also there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he asks David where the money is. David says he's going to go upstairs to get the money, but instead he tries to make a run for it. And Noah is there like,
out.
Yeah. Noah's there witnessing all of this, and he sees them run after David.
Yeah, he clocks it.
So he gets a bottle from the bartender. Like, he buys a whole bottle.
It. Yeah, yeah.
And he runs after them. They catch David at his car and start hitting him and kicking him and beating him up. And Noah comes to his defense. He, like, hits the bottle on the car and puts the glass to the guy's throat.
Yeah. Reminded me a lot of MacGruber, you know, like, hand me your watch. No, hand me that bottle. All right, now hand me your watch. Because he just smashes it so fast.
Yeah, and on David's car, too.
Yeah.
Everett tells David he has until tomorrow afternoon, or it's going to be real bad.
I feel that Noah successfully pulled off tough in that moment.
I think so, too. Yeah. I mean, he went for it. So after they walk away, David gets up and he doesn't. Well, Noah tries to help him up. He won't take his hand. He doesn't say anything to him. He just kind of like grunts and walks away. And Noah's like, "You're welcome.
Happy to do it." Bye.
The next day at the Walsh house, Steve is on his way to go get the DNA test. Kelly is arguing with Erica, trying to talk her into going to the DA's office to help them. And Erica is refusing. Brandon sends Erica out of the room and Kelly's like, "You know, I could just call the DA myself."
Mm-hmm.
But Brandon's like, "You're not going to do that."
Yeah. Because Kelly's she's kind of running around Brandon a little bit. Like, she's, you know, she knows how Brandon feels, but she gets Erica alone and is like, "Just tell them, you know?"
Yeah. And while they're talking, Erica takes Kelly's keys and takes off in her car.
Erica, when will you learn?
Erica.
Old Erica would never have done this.
I know. At a modeling agency where I guess Donna is doing a shoot because that's what she does sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
David comes to see her and confronts her about Noah and is like, "You know, did you sleep with him? And you said you were busy yesterday." And Donna refuses to talk about it. She's like,
"Yeah,
I'm not doing this. This is crazy."
Mm-hmm. Man, I can't take another one of these, Donna, David.
I know.
Maybe someday, David. Over it.
So they go back to the hotel to find Erica, and they do find her there with Julie, who is real beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they immediately call the police. Julie says that for her birthday, Riggs brought around a guy for her who just, like, beat her up. So it wasn't Riggs who did it. It was a different guy, but Riggs was involved.
Uh-huh.
Julie gives Erica the pocket watch back, and Brandon sees this and realizes that Erica wants it. And he's like, "You know, go ahead. He would want you to have it." And I'm like, is he dead?
Right.
He's not dead.
I know.
You could go see him if you want to.
Yeah.
Riggs comes in as they are standing there and he, you know, they tell him that they called the police and he tries to get the girls to leave with him, but they refuse. And Riggs is like, "You'll be back. You need me." But they hear the police sirens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The medical center, Carly brings Steve Zach's lucky marble for luck.
Yeah.
And he's waiting for his results, and the nurse does call him over. The results are in, but we do not learn what the results are.
That's right. On the next Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
It's a cliffhanger.
Yep.
At the Peach Pit, Valerie comes over to the Peach Pit side to tell David that there are some pretty scary-looking guys waiting for him at the Peach Pit after dark. So David goes over, and he's like, "Look, guys, I don't have the money, so beat me to a bloody pulp, I guess." But Everett says, "You know, I came to get paid and I got paid. Somebody paid me all your money and your interest. So your butt is saved."
Yeah.
And David can't comprehend who it would be. But when Everett leaves in the parking lot, we see he and Noah like stare each other down. Mm-hmm. Noah's like waiting in his car and they like stare each other down as they leave.
Ooh, yeah.
So, and we get like a little voice ADR where he's like, "You just saved David."
Yeah.
Just in case we weren't sure.
Yeah.
What was happening.
I wonder what they have to talk about. That's interesting.
The last scene is at the Walsh house. They, Kelly, Brandon, and Erica arrive home, and they're making jokes about, like, oh, I wish we could listen to music, but we don't have a stereo.
Larceny.
Erica says that she's going to call Iris finally and tell her that she's okay. And she also asks Kelly if they can get Julie into the outreach program that's part of the foundation.
Right.
I liked Brandon's line here. The doorbell rings and he says, I better get that. It might be the door.
Yeah. That feels very Marx Brothery. I wonder if that's a quote.
At the door is Assistant DA. What is it?
Deborah Mills.
Deborah Mills. And she has come once again to ask Brandon to reveal his source. And she says, you know, I can slap you with a felony charge for this because you are covering for this guy by not giving me your source.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get, you know, this is a felony, you will go to jail for a long time if you don't give me your source. So now Brandon has to decide.
He's got a choice to make.
Yep.
And that's it, right? That's it. The end.
Okay. That's it.
All right. Well, Kendra, what's your 90210 snap?
I guess I'll give it to the kiss, the Donna Noah kiss.
Yeah. Mine too. Overall verdict?
Meh. I'm still not on board with this season.
Yeah. I need this Erica
again
story
with the David Donna, like,
yeah.
It's just been so much with the two of them. And like Valerie groveling to Noah is stupid to me. I mean, I guess we'll see. I feel like Steve is not going to be the dad. So I guess I'm not really invested. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I guess I'm not really invested in that. It just feels like shenanigans, maybe not. Maybe he will be the dad. And that would be
we'll see.
Interesting. But
yeah, cute little blended family.
I'm still just kind of like, it hasn't found its footing for me.
Ain't seen nothing yet, Kendra. There's a storyline upcoming that I've been dreading since we started this podcast. And
Worse than Erica being a prostitute?
How is
that possible?
I think so.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Those who know, I think, will probably agree with me, but we'll see.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Yeah. Okay, well. You can catch me every other week on The Sandorian Life, a Star Wars podcast from the Radio Meanwhile Network, or But Have You Tried from the David A. Howe Public Library. Next time, it'll be Season 8, Episode 11, Deadline. And that's an April Fool's episode, Kendra, so you just never know, you know?
Yeah, what you never know what'll happen on April Fool's.
I don't know. It's a scary time for all of us. What about you? What are you doing?
I'm Miss Musebox 91 online, and I'm also the co-host of the podcast 90s Music Got Me Like. And I promise, we'll have an episode coming soon.
Nice.
I promise.
Okay. Well, with that, I bid you a fond 902, and here we go.
And to you.